Welcome to the RRR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Tokyo news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 39.
Day of the Dino Charge. It's not the most funny, but the other one's kind of mediocre.
And you'll hear it anyway at some point.
Yeah, you'll probably. Like, even like the most mediocre titles I file away. I literally actually have a file open on it now, because I'm so forgetful.
For real?
Because, like, there's times I'll think of a title, like in the shower or something, and then completely forget it later, and I know it's there, but I never wrote it down, so I have a file that just says podcast titles. Classic me.
Classic Dawson.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, I don't know what that was.
I don't know if you're stalling for time.
It's gonna be one of those episodes where things are just gonna be really awkward because it's late and I'm tired and I'm in that mood.
So there's only two of us, and Brian and I aren't actually friends. We just play them on TV, so it's really awkward to keep up this banter, like pretend to tolerate each other. It's really hard.
It's difficult. I hate this guy. He's the worst.
You're the worst.
That is true. Anyway,
glad we can agree on something.
Oh man,
person I used to friend.
We used to be friends on Facebook.
I have bangs now.
The purge happened.
That's exactly how it happened.
You were the first to go.
Dramatic Facebook unfriending movies. It's like that trailer.
Saba and Tiger's over this week. I don't think I had those last week. Those are amazing. Quite a bit. Did you get those yet?
They're not here yet.
Okay.
I've been checking. I've been on top of it.
When you do Tiger Zord and the combination, just like the old toy, his chest, like, shoulder areas pop out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget that, because people will yell at you.
Okay. I forget stuff all the time.
Like, you forgot to pull the shoulders out for the combination mode. I'm like, I don't look at the instructions.
I hate when people... Me too. I always yell all the time. But sometimes people say I forgot to do stuff I never intended on doing. Oh, you forgot to put all six card users standing next to each other. No, I didn't. I had no plans in dismantling my display for this review.
Basically, I mean, if you watch my reviews, you know my thoughts. But Tiger Sword is really cool. It doesn't have that same wow factor that the Dragon Sword did. But it's a great toy. And Saba is everything the Dragon Dagger was, just like times two. It's great.
The thing that I like about Tiger Zord before having it is that I don't have to pull down three other Megazords to do combinations, and he's basically just by himself right now.
Yeah. That is definitely true. Those are great. I should be getting an AmiAmi Oki box tomorrow, hopefully. I don't know if this is your case or not, but my EMS package has been sitting in customs for several days now.
I haven't had EMS in a long time.
Like, it's really obnoxious, but I should hopefully be getting that tomorrow or Friday. I don't remember what's in there. I figure it's Blue Beats in there. I'm really excited for that. Get some Blue Beetleborg action going on here.
Are the green and red ones still up for pre-order?
I believe so.
All right, I need to tell Oki about it. I keep procrastinating.
I think they're open until early March, if I remember right.
I need to stop procrastinating that and talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah, finally. Never mind. So I'll stop there.
You have more self-control than me, my friend.
I think that's about it. I've still been playing Captain Toad because I never finished it. I love the game so much, but I can only tolerate it in small doses. It's like I get frustrated with it and just stop. So that's been happening. I haven't really been playing anything else. So I think I'm just going to pass it. I've got a lot to do and no time to do it. That's my life.
Well, let's see. Like I just said, I have been on top of looking for Saba and Tiger Zord, checking my stores, stalking my rivals, and I haven't. There's no hint of it being here unless it's like in the one really far away. So it's pretty frustrating. But I don't think I've bought anything else in person. I got one Omni box today. See, I haven't had EMS in a while because all my boxes have been small potatoes.
Yeah, like, I know that feeling.
And like, it's frustrating because these. I wish these boxes had been together, but it was like I was waiting for something, and then Omni's like past due notice. So I have this box which has the fruit car and the drive lock, and then it has Sun Vulcan guy in it, who I finally decided to order because I felt incomplete. and the other one I think is like Signal Bike and Mach. And then when you texted me, I did pre-order everything Ninja on HLJ, so I'm hoping I win the lottery because yeah. I missed the Ami pre-orders.
Like, knock on wood, I've had pretty decent luck with HLJ.
At the very least, I imagine I'll get a couple things.
Yeah. I've only been screwed, I think, twice with drive stuff. The Viral Core set I didn't get. No, it was three times then. It was it was only twice. It was
more times than I've been screwed.
The second Shift Car set and then the Viral Core set. I thought they gypped me out of TK.
And then they didn't. TKD Tigre.
But then I'm like... And they're like, oh, nope, we have it. We just didn't want to give it to you in time to ship it out with your box. So.
Banjo-Kazooie beat the shit out of you. This is our policy, son.
So that was a thing. But like I said, I've had really good luck with them for drive stuff, so I'm hoping I can get all the...
I forgot I have like five drive things around my private warehouse. Like I got Chase TK and like the Final Vial Core set, and like I just haven't shipped them, and HLJ is so frustrating because before I got into the Toku community, really, the HLJ was just where I went for everything. Everything was pre-ordered there, no problem. None of this stuff ever happened. It was back in the days when you could mull over a belt purchase, like buying milk.
Yeah.
But I love their private warehouse system, and I wish AmiAmi would employ that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Because, I mean, AmiAmi is great in the sense that you can stockpile your order and everything, so it's a little bit easier to manage than... just flat out buying something. But the way that HLJ does it is really great. Like,
yeah,
you can make several different orders and then pay for it, don't have to worry about it, and then they just hold on to it. They don't make you ship it right away, and then you can combine with this. You can only ship out some things in the warehouse. It's a great system.
Yeah, I wish they would, like, combine
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It's like InDesign and Illustrator. Just make them one fucking program. Sorry. It's frustrating. I wish they would do that because, like, AmiAmi the past few months has been frustrating me with, like, the way I have to time things, and then I stop caring about timing things, so I've had to pay for a bunch of, like, small shits. Like, I got my Tokyo Rainbow figure canceled at one point. It was in another order, or it was by itself or something, and I didn't pay it because I didn't want to buy it on its own, so they canceled my order, and then I just ordered it again and put it into a box. I've gotten, like, three order cancellations in the last 6 months, and they've never, like, blackballed me like Matt for Matt. But it's been frustrating with them. But that's a way longer story out of that than I intended. But that's all I've bought.
It's weird saying so much positive things about HLG.
Yeah. And video game wise, I have been back into playing Ruby. I got my third badge finally. No, Omega Ruby, not regular Ruby. I picked up the wrong game. I just picked up my Game Boy Micro and started playing. I really am enjoying that. I don't know why. I just at the time, I guess I wasn't in a Pokemon mood when it came out, and I got distracted. But
no, I can understand that.
But I'm kind of taking my time, you know, catching Pokemon. I'm spending a lot of time in. The petting thing. I think I mentioned that before just because I love the benefits of it and I didn't Pokemon take advantage of it until later. Yeah, it's great. It's like Combusken's paralyzed. He's like, nope, fuck you. I love my partner too much. And he just like springs out of it. So I didn't take advantage of that till like post-game in XY. So I'm doing that now. I have a really mundane story. I'm going to be Kevin and tell a mundane real-life story, but I thought it was kind of funny. So today I have a class about magazine design. Completely useless. Arguing about shit that doesn't matter, but we go in there today. The class is supposed to be about 4 hours long. It never goes quite that long, but it's supposed to be 4 hours because it's once a week. And we get in there, and he starts telling us about this assignment. And to our knowledge, last time we were supposed to bring in this assignment we did last week. And one of the people in our class stops in mid-sentence and says, hey, what about the assignment we're supposed to critique? I have it right here. and he starts talking about something, trying to rationalize. This sounds so boring, I realize, I know. But,
I'm sorry, okay. I'm laughing.
No, you'll get to it. I'll get to why it's funny.
I'm not even laughing, are you?
Okay, it's okay. I'll just keep going. I'll power through it. This is how I have to deal with everything in life. This is what happens when I try to ask girls out. No, but where was I? Oh, yeah. So he walks out. She shows him the magazine thing she designed. I know it was hilarious. Terrible design. No. Damn it, Brian, this is distracting me. Because your laugh is contagious. Did Kat go in there and get diuretic again? I can't even remember.
No.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. Anyway. Go ahead, tell your story. So, I won't laugh anymore.
Liar.
I can't help it.
Okay. So anyway, she shows him the design she did, and he looks at it, and then he just says, "God damn it." And he goes and sits at his desk for like a minute. And then he comes over. There's like a table in the middle of the room. He takes his glasses off and stares at us awkwardly for like 3 minutes. And he just kind of staring off into space. He'd stare at us alternately. I was trying so hard not to laugh. It was so awkward. I had to cover my mouth because I kept smiling in an effort not to laugh like Brian was doing. And now he's muted when I have no audience in the store. It feels more awkward than I'm telling it to nobody. But it was super awkward. And then he finally just says, "We're going to take a break for 15 minutes. And we took a break for more like 7 minutes, but whatever. And he's like, "All right, we're going to critique this thing." And we critiqued the assignment from last time. And then he said we could go. And we'd only been in class like 30 minutes. And he said, he's like, "I apologize. I have no excuse. I can't even begin to apologize. I already told Scott what happened," who's like the dean or whatever. And he's like, "this will just be a wasted class and you guys can go." And essentially what happened is he was trying to give us an assignment he already gave us. Totally fucked up. Mixed up the schedule. He's going to rewrite the syllabus. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. It's a 4-hour class. He could have recovered the class. I didn't want to push it, though, because he was letting us leave. But I just thought it was absolutely hilarious how much this dude wigged out and just let us leave early. Like, he completely freaked out over the fact that he fucked up. But I thought it was hilarious. Mainly when he was awkwardly staring at us and I was trying hard not to smile.
I've been in situations like those, and yeah, it's the worst.
It's never happened to me before. Like, everyone, because this is new teachers. My favorite teacher just left. He got promoted. So this is like a new guy, and I've never had somebody that disorganized before where he forgot. I think he has Alzheimer's. I don't know. He's kind of older. But it was super awkward. And, like, the best part was me trying not to laugh. And the meowing. It was so awkward. Everyone just started meowing. And then the only other funny thing that happened is that because class got out so early, I decided to go find Alex, which is my old teacher that left, because
That's what that meant.
Yeah. Well, that was during – I tweeted that during the awkward silence when he said we're taking a 15-minute break. But after that, because I only go in the building I need to be in. There's 3 other buildings on campus. I've never been in them because I don't need to be in them, and people will tell me where things are in them, but I'm afraid to go check it out. But I went over to go find him, and I went in the right building, and I couldn't find the – because someone told me the room number was 200, and I'm like, it's not even in here. And I walk all the way over to this other building, and apparently there's a high school on our campus. I had no idea. But I'm an idiot. I was in the building, the right building, the first time, but I didn't realize there was a second floor until I got outside. So the only other funny part of the story is that I went up to go see him, and his office is in like this little office suite where like you walk in and there's a secretary and then 5 offices. And he wasn't there. I asked the lady, "Is he here?" And he's like, "No." And when I left, the door is like super light and I didn't realize it. So I went to close it like just normal speed. Like I wasn't trying to slam it or anything, but it was so light that it slammed. So like, I'm like, "Is Alex here?" "No." And then behind me, the door just boom. Like I slammed it like I was angry. It was so awkward. Like it was just. I didn't want to. I almost went back in and apologized for how loud it was because I didn't mean to. It seemed like I was pissed.
Ma'am, I am really sorry.
But yeah, that's my mundane story of the day. Just it was so awkward. Nothing like that's ever happened to me before. So we've lost half our viewers now, but at least I got to tell that story to somebody. All right. So this week, Kevin continues being a dad. He's paying attention to his newborn kid when he isn't thinking about the people that need him. Me. And
everyone else.
Brandana quits, you know. Couldn't resist. That was a joke I thought of. Okay. Dweeb? What the hell is this? 1967?
I don't think they had the word dweeb in 1967.
I was just trying to think of the oldest date possible. And I went for 50s, but then I was like, wait, that's too far. There was a little mini fight going on before that sentence went out. 1971. How about that? They had dweebs in 1971. Confirmed.
Confirmed.
At very least in the 80s. George McFly. Come on. Dude is a dweeb. Speaking of George McFly, news.
Perfect.
George McFly's role. Rick Medina, big news, got a haircut.
Yeah.
His hair is shorter than the last time I saw him. Can you believe it?
Surprising. That's all that's gone on in his life recently.
That's all. Nothing else. Impalings. No, but he was in the news for stabbing his roommate with a sword. Apparently, like right now, it looks like it was self-defense because he was arrested, but then he was released. So it was a whole big thing. There was people shocked. There was people making jokes, me, and then there was people offended by people making jokes. Now
everyone else,
everyone knows I'm a very insensitive person, and as soon as something like this happens, regardless of how the method of stabbing or the death was, it could have been a gun, it could have been a bouncy ball, he could have punched him, I don't know. Eventually, I would have tried to make it funny. That's just who I am. But the fact that it was a sword, I could not resist. There was no fucking way. I'm sorry. I read the article. It said killed him with a sword. I mean, anybody, that's a funny story. But his character was based around this sword that he had to find the ultimate battle with. Come on. You can't dangle that in front of me and expect me not to comment on it. There is no way. I mean, you have to understand. There's no way.
I cannot confirm or deny if the same jokes were running through my head.
I mean, it was the first thing. I mean, come on! How can you not see the funny?
They legitimately wrote themselves. I mean, yeah, it's not cool to poke fun at the fact that someone got killed, but
didn't even know him. It's fine.
They write themselves. They really.
It was perfect.
It's laid out right in front of you. All you have to do is connect A to B and joke made. You don't even have to say it.
And then they, like, I love the ones where they use the picture of him as Decker. I'm sorry. There's a bunch of, like, misinformed articles, though, where it's not like the ones where everyone's bitching about, but, like, the ones where they like, use MMPR or they put the Red Samurai Ranger next to him.
Yeah. Because there was so much, like, miscommunication through all this. And it was funny because, like, a lot of the articles were mentioning Wild Force, but they were, like, using pictures from, like, MMPR, like you said, from Samurai, because the article mentioned that he played a role in Samurai, and, like, so they put the Samurai Red Ranger up there. I'm like, how awful are you people at your job? It's like, oh, ex-Red Ranger committed for murder, and it shows like a picture of fucking Jason.
Yeah. Poor guy, he's been in porn and killed someone.
Like, it's just the worst to be Austin right now, because like you said, you're accused of gay porn, you're accused of killing someone. Cause just because you're the first, you're accused of everything, because people don't know better.
You'd think it would have been about Steve, because he looks like he's been in porn. Like, look at him. Well, look at him. Rocky and Rocky was not a sitcom. It was actually a porn. What was I going to say? And the problem is a lot of casuals don't realize that there was more series than MMPR. Yeah, so then you get casuals reporting on news. But it's the whole thing. I mean, I'm not trying to go out of my way to be rude, but that's just the way I deal with things, especially when it's that funny. There's no way I could not comment on that. I found it more annoying that, I mean, I really don't care about what JDF said about for the brand. I found it more annoying that people were turning this into another JDF smear campaign as opposed to the people that were just making jokes about it being a sword. That's maybe because I made a joke about it being a sword, but I am annoyed at JDF as much as the next person, but I'm kind of tired of every single thing happening turning into an excuse to make a smear campaign against him. It's like, it's over, guys. Morph of Madness was a lot of fun. It was a fun week. But can we just not now?
It got really bad. Like, what he said was very arrogant and stupid, but it was like every little thing that this, like, a tiny, tiny, minute sliver of me actually kind of feels bad for JDF, because anything he says now will get turned, no matter how far you have to turn it, even if you only have to turn it like 1 degree, it will get turned however far it needs to in order to be some sort of negative against the man. He's an asshole. Let's just let it go.
Like, and honestly, maybe what he said wasn't the best thing to say as compared to some other actors like Jason Fahn, who handled it really well. But I get the sentiment behind what he was saying in terms of, you know, people who are Power Rangers should set a good example and maybe not kill people. And, you know, it was an accident from what I'm going to assume it was an accident. Because I met Rick Medina. Dude was super nice. Honestly, we always make jokes about him being super chill, but seriously, he was probably one of the nicest people I met.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So I imagine it was an accident. That's what I believe. But, I mean, the way JDF presents things can be kind of douchey. There we go. And I definitely don't think he's a completely nice guy, but I think sometimes people attack him too much. Because I sort of get, even if it was pompous or not, I sort of get what he meant, in a way. I just, like, I don't want to sound like a JDF defender, but at the same time, people were like, I can't believe how despicable you are for making a joke about this. Well, I think it's more, not despicable, but more obnoxious to turn a tragedy around to take it into another fuck JDF, go ASJ posts, because those are super obnoxious.
Those are all over, too. Like, I have absolutely nothing whatsoever against Austin. He's a great guy.
Oh, no, I just don't like his people.
But, damn.
It's, yeah, because ASJ is super nice, but his people are the worst. Maybe not quite as bad as some of JDF's people, but they're always talking about how JDF goes against what the franchise is about when their constant attacks on him are just as much.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really dumb. Like, I just don't like his people. I'm so tired of the, you wanted to meet your only one and only old gal Red Ranger? But yeah, I didn't mean to go on a whole rant. It's just these things get super frustrating.
And since we never actually mentioned it, he was released.
I didn't.
No charge. I wasn't paying attention.
I said he was arrested and then released. But
okay, got it.
I mean, I used the word released, but God. Anyway, but yeah, he's released. They want to investigate it more. I don't remember if it was a meme or just a saying, but on one of the Facebook Rangers threads, someone's like, look, everyone's got a legal degree. Because, like, everyone's talking about, like, well, he was arrested, so clearly he did it. There was much more to it, but in something that extreme, arrest has to be made. I mean, he called the police. If he had fled the scene with the sword, you know, just running down the block, Urumasa in his hand, blood flying, like, then I... But the fact that he called the police and he actually was trying to... I guess I heard he was trying to perform first aid on him. It was pretty much an accident.
Well, I mean, when you try to help him, you call 911. You stay there. That's nothing that's premeditated. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure there were ways that he could have not stabbed him.
Yeah,
like used a fist or something. But heat of the moment, what are you gonna do?
One of the things almost sounded like, I don't remember if it was official. I feel like it was something his lawyer said, but it almost sounded like he was just holding it to, like, hold him at bay, and he didn't expect him to burst through the door. Like, because that was the first story, was that he burst through the door. So, you know, I don't think that he was like, oh, if you don't back off, I'm going to stab you. I feel like it was, like, honestly an accident. Like, he burst through the door and took him by surprise, you know? Didn't expect him to bust down the door. But we can't really know everything. But like I said, I mean, sure, we don't know him as friends, but when we met him, he was super nice. He was such a chill dude.
What if he just grabbed it to threaten with it, and he just kind of burst through the door and ran into it?
That's what it sounded like, almost. Like, that seems comedic and, like, unreal, but I could see it happening. Or something along the lines of, you know, I don't think he was intending to stab him. He was just holding it in self-defense, and he didn't expect him to break down the door. But I don't know. We'll find out more in the next few days, but I choose to believe it was, you know, an accident. I can't imagine him going crazy like that. Certainly blows that whole story about him telling that one guy to fuck off out of the water. but yeah, that was the most major thing I can think that's gone on this week, the Toku news.
Yeah, there's not much else. I don't want to say a whole lot about them because they were just rumors. There's no actual scans yet. We should have scans by next podcast. In fact, we'll probably have scans tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
As soon as we hang up, they'll start going up.
The next Ninja and Drive toy catalogs, rumors are flying around. The sixth Ninja is supposed to be called Star Ninja. And I love everything about him already, if this is all true. His Zord is a bison.
And, why would that just make you love him immediately? You have a thing for bisons?
And do you not understand my love for bisons?
The Iron Bison, Danny? Is it because he was in that episode of Chuck?
Yes. I mean, okay. Just look at him. It's like, yeah, muscles and shit.
Is there color rumored?
I don't think so. I'm completely stalling for time while I get the article up. Where is it? Okay, so his robot would be Rodeo Maru that is going to combine with the King Bison Buggy, which I assume would be... I'm picturing a Mogu Dayo-esque situation to form Bison King. And that's just an amazing name, honestly. Bison King. And then Shurikenshin and Bison King will combine to form King Shurikenshin. That's not as exciting as a name. But Star Ninja is supposed to have a transformation device called the Ninja Star Burger.
Oh my god. Welcome to Star Burger, home of the Star Morpher. May I take your morpher?
I'm so excited. I need to see this. I can't even comprehend.
But no color mentions or anything?
But no, there's absolutely no color mentions on here, which I find kind of absurd.
Well, it's because so many people are like calling it now. He's going to be green, totally going to be green. I don't want him to be green because I want all those people's happiness to go away.
I don't want him to be green because it's been done before.
Yeah. I want him to be eggshell white.
Or just chartreuse. A slightly different offset white compared to Shiro Ninja. There's a third auxiliary mech called Surfer Maru.
It's going to be really chill.
Everything's just amazing. Drives is nowhere near as hysterical. They're talking about Signal Chaser. So Chase becoming a rider with the Shingo Axe, which is the Signal Axe. So basically,
they don't know how to say signal, right?
I picture Tokyo, whatever her number is, yellow. This is why you go by colors, people. her hammer just with a blade on it. That's basically what I picture. And, like, some go-kart things that attach to Tridoron.
Wasn't there some sort of chase sound unlocked that led people to believe he'd become a rider?
Yeah. It's the same as Mox, so it's signal bike, rider, but then it says chaser.
Oh.
So, that's supposedly a thing. It's talking about type Tridoron, which I feel is probably going to be his movie form.
Oh, it's like Dino Liner form, but with
that sounds like Thrive. Movie form, so who knows, but yeah, no confirmation on any of that. I hope it's all true because everything about Star Ninja is mine.
You know, I kind of hope that Ninja is a series that has more than six. Like, I don't want them to do the same formula very often, but I do really like series like Courageur where they have a lot of Rangers. Just because, like, the Courageur suits, I love seeing all these different variations, and I like the Ninja suit so much, I'd like to see maybe at least one more. Also, it gives you something more to look forward to if the show is stale.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like after Akira was introduced, there was nothing else, and, you know, like, really knew that it was exciting. If they made the figures, it'd be even more amazing. I would buy a figure of Tokyo Black, whatever it is. Ichigo Black. I don't remember what they're calling it.
I probably would too. It looks nice.
Tokyo African American. Sorry.
As long as whatever figure it was moderately sparkly, I would totally.
Yeah,
buy it.
I imagine. But I think that's pretty cool.
There's not a whole lot. So hopefully we'll have some scans to work off of next week. So that'll be cool.
Especially since it'll keep up the tradition of knowing about the Sixth Ranger before the show happens.
Yeah. Funny how life works.
Yeah.
Okay. So now is okay. Before that, by the way, goddamn it, the fucking Ninja action figures are totally the Action Hero molds. You can't even fucking argue with me anymore.
I never was going to.
I wasn't. I was talking to the audience who may or may not argue with me. I don't think anyone did, but...
Like, was there some sort of event that, like, erased any doubt that shouldn't even been there?
A picture that clearly shows the same exact mold.
Oh, okay. But they're way too muscly. I mean, come on, guys. This is ridiculous. It's a disgrace to Japan's culture.
No.
They don't believe in muscles. It's really dumb.
Trust me, I've seen enough naked Japanese men to know...
They don't believe in muscles.
They totally believe in muscles.
I don't think they do.
Dem abs.
Dante's
abs isn't a joke for a reason.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I don't know how people have forgotten the Time Force or Wild Force figures.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we even have the Armor Trans. Well, no, that's not right. That's Kamen Rider. Whatever, the big Armored Power Rangers figures. I forget the name of them at the moment. But, yes, Armor Trans, like I said. No, but...
Armor Trans, Dagger Cycle,
yeah,
Engage, but, Energize.
Like, we have those, and those are a good example of an overly muscular one. I mean, sure, these ones we have now aren't maybe as accurate as, like, the Geki Rate or the Jungle Fury ones were in terms of slenderness, but it's nothing where it's, like, grotesquely noticeable. It's more toned than anything. God, people just don't respect the tone, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I just think it's a dumb thing to get mad over.
It is.
Like, if we were still pumping out Time Force ones or, like, the Zeo ones where we had mutant she-males, I get it. To be fair, true. Kimberly was a mutant she-male, but she never made it into those figures. They just really wanted to make a joke about her. I mean, that's why the money for the pizza party is so much, because, like, she's a she-male. It's, like, rare. I'll stop. For now.
God. Okay, now that I got that on my system, now it's time for superhero time. Stuff. More stuff.
Brilliant.
So
this is the show now, guys.
This is what happens. Okay, here's what happened. Last week, Tokyo
a guy was beheaded.
Was son of a bitch.
And they don't have any news stations to cover it, so we don't get a Tokyo Jerk.
Okay, now, rewinding again a little bit.
Rewinding Tokyo Jer already. Ace vlogs.
Last week we didn't cover Tokyo Jer because it didn't come out until Thursday. We record the podcast on Wednesday, so it didn't happen. So we're going to do that this week. We should have been doing 45 and 46, but it wasn't on because of the whole ISIS
Megazord
kidnapped some Japanese people. I'm doing an awful job at this. Is why I'm not a news reporter.
The Deer Zord did
terrorist
it.
Terrorist was the word I was looking for. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. So that was a big thing. And if you don't know about it, go to CNN or some shit. This is not the time nor place to discuss things like that.
Too late.
Well, Dazzle already spoiled it. So
see, I can't help it. It happens, guys.
Okay,
I'm sorry. If it's not animals, I have a hard time. Like, animals getting hurt, I cannot handle it. But when I hear about people, unless they're a soap opera character I've been following for years, I have a hard time.
So anyway, TV Asahi is basically like a ABC, NBC sort of thing. So, of course, it was interrupted to cover the news. Drive, unfortunately, aired. So we have that going this week. But anyway... we didn't know when it was going to air. They finally announced that they're going to air 46 this weekend, which was supposed to be the finale. So currently we don't know when the finale is going to air. So that's where we're at. Everything still says that Ninja's going to start on the 14th. So as far as we know, that hasn't been changed. All the websites still say it's 14th.
So maybe instead of randomly airing like 46 this week, they're just going to randomly air 47 or double up somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Japanese TV is really confusing.
It really is. My hope is that they either can drive 1 week and do Tokyo 47 on the 14th at 7:30, sometimes normal slot, and then do Ninin at 8, which is usually drive slot. So I think that would be cool because you have the finale, the passing the torch, and the first episode like all in a row. So I think that would be kind of cool to see, but not that we'd see it live anyway, so it doesn't really freaking matter. But
just the concept.
That was a really long explanation of we're covering last week's Tokyo-Jir. Tokyo-Jir wasn't on this week. That was a short version that went after the long version. Don't apologize.
I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not apologizing.
Or whatever that is. I don't know. It's stupid. Anyway. All right. So Tokyo-Jir 45. This was a thing that I watched with my moderately watery eyeballs.
Another ringing endorsement for the DVD cover. So I batch watched like 5 episodes because I had to pick up his open case. But honestly, the last 5-ish episodes or whatever I watched have been pretty solid. I mean, I watched it 2x speed, but I've enjoyed myself. The stuff has been happening. Even the clip show was like one of the better clip shows I've ever seen.
Like
I was surprised.
It was a clip show. Like most things in Tokyo-Jir, it failed at being a clip show, which is awesome.
Yeah, like, there's shows that I absolutely love that I've hated their clip shows, and this one is like a show I'm like, eh. But I'm like, holy crap, you actually did a clip show good.
Yeah.
Even the Dollhouse episode was entertaining. My favorite line was that I got the idea from Kagura's shoe. I don't know why. Like, I understood the context, but, like, out of context, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, did the shoe tell you to do it? But
you see, the shoe talks to me.
But it really is a lot like Gosager. Almost exact same situation, the fact that I stopped watching it, and bulk watching it makes me like it a little bit better.
Yeah, I feel like Tokyo-Jir is probably a show that is actually pretty good watching it in bulk, because when you have those annoying filler episodes, which was honestly most of the beginning of the season, but when you can glance over those a lot easier, I feel like it offsets it quite a bit more.
Yeah.
So you could have like boring episode, and you'd be like, but then a good episode happens and you're like, oh, okay, cool, and you're interested again. And that will happen in the span of like 2 or 3 hours that you're watching it, instead of week after week going, oh, another crap episode. Oh, another crap episode.
Yeah.
And it's really draining week after week.
Especially when, I don't want this to sound bad, like, but when you have to watch it, like, I have to watch it each week for the show. Don't get me wrong, I like doing the show, but like when you are watching a show you don't like that much, but yet you're required to watch it, it becomes homework. Mm-hmm. But when I'm able to batch watch Tokyo-Jir and then electively choose to watch it, it makes that much better.
Right.
Not that I'm saying I love Tokyo-Jir amazing now, but I have a lot more positive thoughts than I did negative before.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I like a lot of what was going on.
Okay. I mean, like I was saying a lot, the fact that the show is actually really entertaining to me right now doesn't forgive the fact that it was so shit at the beginning.
Yeah.
But like Gosager, my overall opinion it turned around quite a bit. I still wouldn't put it anywhere close to my top. In fact, it honestly is still toward the bottom. But it's not like the show is shit and there's no redeeming qualities about it whatsoever. It's had a very solid end game. And
one thing in comparison,
I don't know why I said "and" because I had no thought after that. So
okay, I'll pick it up. I'm a jibber jabber. but one thing in comparison to Gosager, just real quick, is that I did enjoy it more when I bulk watched it. But I actually think, with the exception of me not really liking Wright that much and Kagura being annoying sometimes, I like the ensemble cast better than Gosager's. Like, when I quit Gosager, the only one out of the core five I really liked was Augury, and then it was the same after I bulk watched it. But like with this one, I think the cast has a good rapport, and for the most part, I enjoy them more as a group. So I just randomly wanted to say that. But as for what's going on, I might bleed into the one before this just because it kind of bled together for me a little bit.
That's fine.
I do think the stuff going on with Wright is interesting, mainly for the fact that no one is bringing up that he's getting focused like they did with Daigo last year, which annoys me. I have no problem with either one of them getting focused. I just have a problem with the random prejudice, like with Nick.
Everyone watched Kyuriger and no one's watching Tokihidro, so
I guess so.
About it.
But I'm a little disappointed. I think there's some cool things about the explanation of why him and Zed are connected, but I'm a little disappointed. It was essentially because he touched him inappropriately when he was little, like I mentioned to you earlier. like, he touched the sparkle and they sort of merged energies. That's the way
I get it, but I don't. At the same time, I need someone to sit down and explain this to me better.
Like, the way I saw it is that because their imagination took them to the train, but he, instead of using the Rainbow Line's energy, he used Zed's. So his darkness went into Wright, and then the light that Wright was projecting went into Zed. They kind of their auras mixed. That's the way I saw it. And I think there's some cool things out of that, like the fact that Zed was seeing this sparkle, and he's trying desperately to figure out what it is, but he just can't get it. And then after finding out why, and then failing so many times to harness it, he's like, finally, like, fuck it, I'm gonna go full dark. I think it's almost kind of sad in a way. Mm-hmm. But I kind of dig that. But there was some really cool fan theories that I was not so invested in, but I thought could have been cooler. Like, there was a theory that Zed was Wright's dad because, you know, age, because he's really a kid. Right. And then there was also one that he was the sixth kid of their group. But instead of – he was aged up by the Shadow Line instead of the Rainbow Line, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I was banking on that theory for most of the show, honestly.
Yeah, because I remember how we joked about, like, before we know who Rokugo was, how that might happen with that. But I thought either of those other ones would have been more interesting. Not that this one didn't have some neat things about it, but those other ones were just more cool, I thought. They're kind of somewhat generic theories, like you could see it happening in other shows, but still I thought it would have been really neat, especially the one where he was their friend and he got aged up and being a villain.
I hope there's a little bit more explanation there, because we still don't fully know who Zed is. I mean, he's the Emperor of Darkness, yeah, but is he always that age? Why did he grab Wright? Like, what was the goal there that led to this happening is what I guess I don't really understand.
Because I thought it would have been like the Emperor of Darkness was maybe like a Daishi type energy and he used this kid as a host like Jared.
Yeah.
But that would have been cool. But I don't know. Maybe there is more. And also, like, the explanation of why Wright was on the Shadow Line instead. It seemed like, because they already went ahead and explained it a while ago, and even though they re-explained that, oh yeah, we did really think that it was because his imagination was so strong, it seemed like a rewrite. I don't know if that was the intention, but like the way it was presented seemed like a rewrite for why he was there, because they already went back and said, oh, that's why he woke up on there. I mean, I don't know how much that is true, but it didn't feel organic. You know, didn't get it at Complete Foods. Probably got it at Food and Stuff. But, you know, other than that, disappointments in it, it has been entertaining. The whole idea of Wright having darkness in him has been interesting. And the whole last scene where when Brian was watching it, I said he Wessed him because he left him behind to go fight, and then becoming kids. Like, it was a good scene. It was a really good plot point in a lot of ways. Like Brian also mentioned when he was watching it, I'm talking about Brian's commentary. but it would be a lot more emotional if we were more invested.
I
didn't feel completely lack of investment, but
yeah, no, I'm not saying like I was sitting there going, oh, this is boring, this is fucking stupid. I was invested.
But just not fully.
And like, it's one of those things, like if this was like the Kyuriger cast or GoBusters or something that I was very much enthralled with, than them running around crying and yelling and doing all this emotional shit, I would totally be sitting there going, oh. But when it's with a cast of characters I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever about, I'm sitting here kind of accepting the sad emotions, but not really reflecting anything back.
Yeah, it's like, I still feel the impact of it in a way, but I'm just not completely invested.
Yeah, it was still fantastic. It was a great episode, and it had pretty much everything to me to make a good episode, and that's why I did enjoy it. Like I said, I just didn't have that emotional output that I would have if I was invested in the characters.
And what frustrates about me, what frustrates me is that I'm a fucking idiot that can't speak. But what frustrates me about it is that it was such a well done scene that it brings back to the forefront what we talk about every week, is that Tokidra has so many cool ideas. Like, I really love their ideas. Like, I love the idea of them being kids that grew up like that and then they chose to stay, and then all the ideas are so cool, and a lot of them are really innovative. It's just not put together well, and it's so frustrating, because I could see that if you could go back and shift things around, this probably could have been a lot higher up on my Sentais. But it did seem kind of funny, like, why not wait till after the final battle to pull something like this? Like, if the series had ended like that, like after the final battle, but Wright couldn't go back, but he let them, would have been a really kind of bittersweet finale. Like, it just seems kind of silly, you know, for him to take this whole crisis on alone. And then also ditching Akira, that was kind of dumb, because Akira, he could have taken Akira's help. Akira didn't have a hometown to go back to. He was totally there to help. I mean, I'm going to assume Tokyo's going to regain their memory and come back and be like, you can't leave us in the past with Alex. I don't even like Alex anymore. I like Wes. Alex puts too much mousse in his hair. Fuck him. That's not the Alex I miss. I completely lost. I feel like Jerry now. You let me talk too long. Don't shine the spotlight on me for too long. I had so many thoughts. They all just collided. It did kind of, like, the way they're probably going to remember kind of reminded me of that episode a while back where they forgot they were Tokidras. It was real early on. I don't even remember, like, how exactly everything went down. But I think it'll be an interesting last couple episodes for sure. To see how things are handled. I'm going to assume everyone's going to get a happy ending. And Brian, someone's singing it behind you. This will probably get leveled out, so I seem insane. But yeah, I already mentioned I like the black Tokuger suit. I think it's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, to sum it up, the show's definitely done a turnaround in terms of my opinion. But it's kind of like Super Mega Force. It's a lot of missed opportunities, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly. Like, I was trying to think about what recently frustrated me so much, where I had so many cool ideas. I actually think Tokidra had way more, a lot more cool ideas than I can think about now.
Oh, heck yeah. It definitely did.
And, like, the best villain designs ever in this series.
Even though, like, some of the characters are a little but...
Yeah.
The Shadow Line together had a really fascinating story to me that completely outshined the Tokidras in their own show, which is always a little bit disappointing when your cast of... villains outshines your cast of heroes.
Yeah, I get a feeling we'll talk about that quite a bit in our wrap-up. They had some interesting dynamics, and just the designs. Like, you have your occasional dumb, like, cotton candy balloon monster, but, you know, a lot of the individual ones, but mainly the most of the core villains have some just amazing designs. I'm not a fan of the Aunt Jemima one or Grita, but, like, Zed's is, like, amazing. I liked Swartz a lot. Top-head beak guy. I don't know anybody's name, but they look cool. And they're having their own, you know, mecha was really cool, too. You don't see that very often. It's just a lot of cool things in it.
So that's our Tokyo wrap-up.
Yep, so if we're done, we decided to end it now, like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Season, and we're going to just wait for Ninja now. I never know when to stop. That's why I'm just going to call them the Ninnies. Mark my words. Just like I said, I'm going to say onk onk every time someone says onk. That only lasted like 3 weeks before I got bored.
Yeah, well. Sometimes economy. It's meant to be.
True that. All right, so speaking of things that weren't meant to be, Drive, I'm sorry. This episode wasn't even that bad that I remember.
You remember, huh?
Well, it's been a while. 2 days, it's a long time. I've watched a lot of good TV between now and then. Shit, what did happen this episode? It was a one-shot case. Like, the case was self-contained, by and large, in terms of the mystery, right?
in terms of the mystery, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't defeated, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, because, no, he wasn't defeated. There was a cold open. Like, yeah. We opened on a case already going. Okay, yeah. I remember.
Basically, the Red Mute seduces people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Puts them in comas and steals their money or whatever it is that he does. I don't know.
He's a petty thief. He's in the Glades. He killed Malcolm Merlin's mom. No, wife. But not really. No.
So that's the short version. Outside of setting up the case, he isn't all that important to the episode. I mean, this is, like, by all definitions, a setup episode. It sets up the new form.
It's like our favorite line.
It sets up whatever the hell Rena's doing. It sets up the Roid Mute of the week, or bi-weekliness, or whatever this show does. Sometimes tri-weekliness, it depends on...
Roid Mute of the whateverness, just like me.
Basically. So it sets up everything and accomplishes nothing. We do get our first fight scene with Dead Heat against Hart, which was a pretty cool fight scene. I still hate that suit a lot. If Kevin were here, he'd be defending it for whatever
reason. It's like a few shifts away from being cool.
Like, I see what you did there.
Well, it is. Like, there's elements there I could see liking. It's like the Tokuser of drive suits. Except for Mox. There's no saving that one.
Crimson Chin.
Exactly. Was it just me, or, I mean, it's not like the other two forms had a really amazing build-up or anything, but this one just seemed really quick. Like, really a sudden compared to the other two.
Like, it, and it's weird because it didn't need to happen. The toy doesn't come out until this weekend.
Yeah, so.
So there was no real reason to push it out last week.
Hold the baby in.
I don't fully understand why they decided to do it that way, but it's what they did, so whatever.
Yeah, because I think the other ones were, Technique and Wild were ones that they were, you know, you heard about them and they debuted the same episode, I think. I think maybe one of them got two parts. Wild, he got sort of two parts, fair call.
Yeah.
But regardless, I like the way they were handled in terms of, like, how the emotional state he had to be in and, like, learning to work with it. And even, like, with Technique that was just in one episode, I just thought it felt like a really natural introduction. It was one of the things I think Drive did well. And this one just felt so quick compared to the other two, which is funny because the other two could have been introduced quicker because they were just regular forms, whereas this one's kind of a more important one. I don't know. I just felt weird.
Yeah, the way I completely get that. Like I said, there was no real reason that it needed to happen today. It could have easily been mentioned several times. Like, oh, that's Dead Heat. It's working.
Yeah.
To counter hard. It didn't have to premiere.
Shows, Toku needs to be better about that. They know they're doing toys. I know they're selling me toys. But if you mention something a couple episodes before, it's so much more organic.
Yeah.
Instead of things just all of a sudden happening. It's like Titanium Ranger. Everything about it happened in one episode, when they could have easily had one line about this kid 3 episodes ago and it would have seemed better. That's completely beside the point. I should have already gotten that out in my ramble. It just frustrates me.
Like the thing is that the what he uses isn't even Dead Heat. It's like just the carcass of Dead Heat. Because Dead Heat's basically like a hollowed out type speed with Signal Mach next to it, and they're connected. And then the signal bike folds up and goes inside of the car, and then he puts it into the shift brace. But the bike really part isn't there yet. So he's just like inserting this hollowed out car into the shift brace, and he beats up Hart and then goes insane, and then the episode ends. So, and then now Mach has to fight Dead Heat, and Mach's getting his ass kicked because he's not strong enough. So,
You know, the design issues aside and everything, I think it's a kind of interesting idea. I mean, this isn't the first mishmash form we had, you know, a bunch of Forze ones. There might have been some other ones that I'm forgetting. But it's not the first of its kind. But in terms of the in-show, I think it's kind of unique because of, like, the writers... Multiple writers actually working together in terms of their technology, and then having people actively working with their technology and them actually being compatible is at least a unique thing, I think.
Right.
think if they ever do these mishmash forms again, they should take a little more care in designing them. But I like the idea of all this like sort of compatible technology and Mach and Drive pseudo working together in some forms. Except for Mach being a douche.
Maha.
There are people actually spelling it Maha, like laughing, like it's so annoying. Because I was like, "Well, that's how they say it." I'm like, "God damn it! You're writing Maha. You're doing an evil laugh in the middle of a sentence. Stop yourself. Check yourself."
Maha.
Oh God, that's so annoying. It's like a really annoying laugh. The fact that that noise is obnoxious is just—it's perfect for his character. Exactly. The fact that it's obnoxious is just absolutely perfect. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, the thing. My favorite part about this episode was actually Kiriko, like them fucking decking her out.
Oh yeah,
with like a really cool shoe that kicks people and like laser bullets. I don't know. I think that's just a really cool idea.
Like half of my Twitter feed is all like, "Why isn't Kiriko a writer? Bah, feminism." Blah.
She doesn't need to be a writer though.
And I'm
it's
like
the guy from Kuga, the detective whose name I forget. But he didn't need to be a writer, but he was still important.
Ichijo.
Yeah, Joe. It's been a while, man.
I agree, and I almost think it's more beneficial for her character to kick ass without being a writer than to be a writer. That was one of the things I loved most about Kuga. That's why I love Kuga so much. Like, there was a great dynamic between
Ichijo
and Police Dude.
Wait. Damn it, all these names I'm losing. I watched the Toku shows once. I watched Buffy 27 times.
Godai and Ichijo.
Yeah, there we go.
And it was great because Ichijo wasn't a writer. And it worked. And he still kicked ass the best he could. And I respected him for that.
What about Megumi and Yuri? Them too. Granted, they used the Ixa system a couple times to take out, like, Rook. But still, they kicked ass throughout the whole show. And they were
gun whip things.
Yeah. You just need a gun whip. You don't even need a rider belt. Everyone knows that.
All right.
I love Yuri. Who's Megumi's dad? Tell me. that's going to haunt me until I die. Seriously.
So I love that. For her, especially since Kiriko was, I don't want to say getting on my nerves, but I was getting bored because she wasn't really doing a whole lot. But now she can get in there and kick ass, and I appreciate that quite a bit.
It makes sense, and it's a really cool idea. I also appreciated the last few times where she didn't dress in her police outfit because I can take her more seriously. I get that Japan cops dress comedically, but like they do. They dress like generic cops, like that you would see, like, you know, when you think cop, and there's like a cartoon drawing of a cop in like the 50s. Like, they don't dress like people do here. So, like, her with her little funny hat on and stuff, I can't take her seriously. But when she dresses more like a detective from CSI, I don't know. But, I thought that was really cool.
I understand. We've seen her without the cop. What? That's not a word. without the cop outfit several times now, and I still get that split of who dat.
Yeah, like,
okay, it's her.
Who was it? Ryusei? I'm like, who is that? And Kevin's like, Ryusei?
Well, his hair changed.
Look, it's really difficult to tell them apart. It sounded racist, but it is. Come on. You gotta admit, what are your thoughts on the Ninja cast? They look fucking same. They're all Asian. They talk about us being racist. Have they ever hired anybody that's not Asian to be in Sentai? No.
Robert Baldwin. Except,
no, I'm talking about the core cast. Don't fact check me on this. Because I'll lose in a game of fact-checking every time. But if I'm just spewing off propaganda that's probably offensive, it's fine. Anyway, I don't think there's anything much else that I have to say about the episode. I hope Chase gets his act together. Now he's just straight-up fucking jumping on Drive's car.
Oh my god, that scene. I'm just sitting here watching this. He jumps on the hood of Triderod. I'm just sitting here going,
oh god, it's the fucking Terminator!
He just jumps on the fucking hood of a speeding car. Coming later. I'm like, oh, God.
It's like,
what is wrong with you, son?
I can't wait for him to just stop.
I can't wait for him to just stop existing.
I like his character. I don't like what they're doing with it a lot. Like, there's so cool ideas around him. But that's such a... Oh, it's such a generic trope of the guy that's sort of an anti-hero who starts coming around or remembering something, and then he gets brainwashed for a bit.
Like I said, I don't want it to last a long time because I'm really tired of the trope itself.
Like, there's a lot of tropes that I easily go along with and am a sucker for, but this is one of those ones that I'm not a huge fan of in general, but particularly in this case, it seems more annoying. Especially him following him around. It's just beyond. At this point, it's like a joke.
I still can't believe the library.
I know.
That one was the best.
Punk-ass book jockeys. The worst group of people assembled in history. No, but, yeah, this episode was okay. In conclusion, after all those rants. Even though the case wasn't interesting, I do like that they're at least not... Even though the cases are kind of boring, I like that it's not, like, stuck at a two-episode formula, or three. Yeah, like, there's not one thing.
It's easing up. For sure, it kind of more or less does what it wants to.
Yeah. This week was confusing with the cold open because I thought I missed an episode for a second. I can't think of very many writers that's done cold opens. But yeah, writers. That's how we're just gonna peter out.
That's how we do. All right, so it's time.
Yes, it is time.
It is time
to talk
for
about
our very first
taxes. You need to get your taxes back.
I hate tax. Tax is the worst. You know, I'm plugging out with so much goddamn money. I hate
Go to the accountants that Ben deals with. They're amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is time for the first Dino Charts discussions with me.
Cha! Wait for it. Because I don't have anything. You can't hear anything?
No.
Wait, could you hear this, the music?
Faintly.
Damn it, it's not as good as my old headphones. I was playing the Digimon Frontier theme, because there's no, like, toy that plays the Dino Charge theme. I know the music came out, everyone won't shut up about it, but like, there's no toy, so I was going to play the Digimon Frontier theme. I'll do better next time, I promise. But I could hear it. I specifically, like, queued it up at the time where they start going, ah, ah, ooh, ah. But I'll get it on my iPad next week and just let it blare.
It's almost the same thing.
Yeah. It is the exact same thing. I can't even tell the difference.
I know. They're both tribal and shit.
This episode was awful. Completely disrespected Kyojuri and Japanese culture
absolutely.
And art.
It was the worst.
I mean, there was no dancing, so it was clearly terrible. Worst thing I've ever seen with my eyeballs.
I want to make comment. Last week on the podcast, we were talking about pictures of the Keeper popping up. I would like to point out that we recorded that on Wednesday. Then, zip forward, not even 12 hours when we get done recording that, Nickelodeon's like, we're going to put it up online tomorrow. I'm sitting here going, are you fucking kidding me?
So, like, all of our discussions are relevant.
So, I'm sitting here editing a podcast from before I watched Dino Charge, right after I watched Dino Charge. it was a mess. It was very much a mess. So I thankfully didn't get any comments about why didn't you talk about Dino Charge, because we didn't even know we were going to get it when we recorded that episode.
That happens quite often with us.
It does.
Yeah, our podcast was founded on waiting for TV Neon subs and being a week behind on Superhero Time, so it pretty much makes sense. I want to join Mugeo.
Yeah.
Still gets me. I'm Philip, I do look. And then we did summaries for 3 years. Thanks, us, for chuckling. Anyway, joking aside, this episode was fantastic.
Yeah, this was... Wow, in all senses of it. Like I don't know if it was phenomenal on its own or if it was so great because like the last 4 years have been so mundane, but it was terrific.
It was. And you know, this is coming from someone who, you know, has tried to be a little more positive about Power Rangers. It definitely was a return to a lot better form. That being said, I want to just point out I actually loved Mega Mission. I thought it was a good pilot. I just want to say that.
I noticed a little bit of rumblings on Twitter about that. Like, oh, you guys thought Mega Mission was fantastic too, and look what we got with Mega Force. Or now you're ripping it or whatever. Mega Mission was great. I loved Mega Mission. It was a great nod to everything in like MMPR, while building up the basis for what would become Mega Force. And I liked Mega Mission a lot.
I thought it was a good pilot. It was good,
but the rest of the season is when things didn't.
Yeah, it's questionable. But I immediately saw people attacking. I'm like, well, come on. They did. It was a good pilot. Samurai kind of messed up in that department.
I don't know what to count as Samurai's pilot. I really
Origins
don't.
Was solid, but even if it would have come off better if I'd seen it as premiere, but it still wasn't as good as like this.
Yeah,
I don't think, but they messed that up with airing. Regardless, I actually like Samurai now, but that's beside the point. We're talking way too much about other series. but the thing I love most about this is the slow burn into it, which is something I've always loved about Power Rangers over Sentai. We haven't always gotten it. Like, we've had one-offs. The series started with Day of the Dumpster. Light Speed Rescue was a one-off. Still didn't feel quite as rushed, but I love that for the most part, we always have had two-parters a lot. And Sentai is so rushed. I remembered after watching this, like the second time, our discussions about Curator's Pilot and how rushed it was. And I love that Power Rangers, when Power Rangers takes its time. And because especially when you're older, you don't feel the need to see them get into action right away and everyone morph, everyone get Megazord. You kind of want to see the more character moments.
Yeah, and I honestly think that as long as there's some sort of substance in there, I don't think kids really care either, honestly.
Yeah. But I don't know, because it's not like there's an amazing amount of content, but I feel like there's a lot I want to talk about what I liked.
Well, let's just kind of go through it. I don't want to say scene by scene, but...
Frame by frame, everyone.
Concept by concept. Frame by frame. This frame was not in Killreacher because none of this episode was. Oh,
I know! I love that! No annoying comparisons! Suck it, Vice fans! I love that that's a thing, and people get so awkward when I reference that, because they're like, what the hell are you talking about? You're an insane person. Granted, that's what people say to me every day. But
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, so we open up with a tribute.
You don't even know.
You don't even know the half of it. MMPR was my only option. We open up with a lovely tribute to, and then there were 10. Didn't remind you of all the Ben 10 Open, Vilgax being Sledge and Keeper being was it Xylene carrying the Omnitrix?
Pretty much.
So it very much reminded me of that. Somebody even mentioned that on Ask FM. They're awesome for also acknowledging that. So I'm not saying I was doing screen by or side by side screen caps with Ben 10, but I thought that was kind of interesting. A lot of similarities there. But a very cool open with Keeper killing all the dinosaurs, keeping the tradition of mentors being jerks. No, but I'm glad that it wasn't 10,000 years ago.
At least it was unintentional.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to kill the dinosaurs.
And they didn't say it, but in theory, the asteroid that had, or the meteor that had the dino gems on it being there was really cool, especially since Sledge was carrying it, and you could assume maybe he knew about it. I don't know. There's a lot of cool, like, assumptions. He's also hunting down some Jungle Fury monsters for some reason. I don't even know if would they have been around. Like, I know they were old, but were they that old? 64 million years ago was a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, well, theoretically, they would be there, but that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it's hard to say, but it was a nice throwback anyway.
Yeah. Because the 10,000, at least this didn't happen 10,000 years ago, because that day was busy. It was booked. good luck trying to get a wedding on that day. Yeah, it was. There's so many things to say.
I like how they made no effort of hiding all the other colors. They're like, here, look at all these colors.
Yeah, even like not only just the gems, but like with some of the ones you could see going into the dinosaurs.
Yeah, you could see aqua, cyan, whatever, and graphite.
Yeah. And, you know, the CG, while not amazing, was pretty solid, I thought.
Yeah, people were getting really up in arms about the CG, and, like honestly, it's...
CG is better than practical effects, suck it.
It's a Nickelodeon kids show. I mean, are you expecting Jurassic Goddamn Park here?
Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah, it's Christ. Really dumb. But I also like... I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily handled completely different, but... the way it was presented to me, at least, it seemed more organic that he would give him to the dinosaurs. Like, I hate to mention Kyuger so much when I do that, but it seems such a weird concept in Kyuger, and then reading the summary also for Dino Charge, where it was like, oh, he entrusts them to the dinosaurs and they're helping, whereas dinosaurs just seem like a bunch of meatheads. but it just seemed like he was sort of just giving them to him in the meantime. There were strong creatures that could defend themselves. I don't know. Just the way it presented itself seemed a lot less
unbelievable. I like how he's like...
unbelievable.
He's like, oh, you guys are the bravest. Here's these gems. And then he killed everyone.
Yeah, like, here, take these and go die somewhere with them.
These poor dinosaurs had the inner gems for, like, a couple, like, minutes. And then asteroids started falling and they died.
No, the dinosaurs in Kyuger that got them became the Zords, right? Right? Puberty doesn't need to know.
I believe so. I think that's how it works.
But so this isn't the case here, I don't think, because the energy in the T-Rex carcass.
A fossil, so
yeah,
that'd be some crazy ass shit.
But yeah, I like the way it was presented. Keeper was kind of a smart cookie, deciding to bomb the ship.
I like how Fury was so fucking stupid he didn't even open it there to look.
Yeah. And also, what a loyal guy. He's like, ha, now Sledge will have all the power. I'm like, why don't you just take the power for yourself? Get a coat, maybe, fur one. I don't know. Just a suggestion.
Get a boa. It'll look pretty on you.
Also, this may seem like a really stupid premise for a question.
From you, not really.
Is Sledge really a bad guy, though? He's a bounty hunter. He's catching evil creatures.
Not quite. I mean, they could easily turn him into one. But outside of wanting these gems, which we don't know the circumstances behind at the moment, he just wants the gems because he wants the money associated with them.
Yeah.
Like, he's not particularly evil. He's just a dick, really, I guess.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, I could very much, obviously, he's going to be the villain for the series. So I could see this whole explosion thing, taking him off, making him a villain. No, actually, it's going to be Jam and Grizzle. Big surprise. No, but obviously. But it's just the concept of thinking about the fact that he was kind of a scummy bounty hunter, but not like a I want to take over the Earth guy is kind of interesting, even if it's just in my own head. Because I'm thinking about it, I'm like, he's sitting here, all these evil creatures in cages talking about bounties, and he's literally just going to sell these asteroids and gems. So what the hell is a big deal? Why is Keeper being such a dick? Keeper wanted to sell him for himself, but then he realized there was no money on Earth yet. Rather the bravest among you.
I think more or less Keeper wanted to keep them safe, hence Keeper. And
I keep wanting to say Keeper.
Like, Sledge was just not let him go. He's like, dude, give me the energems. And Keeper's like, no way, they're mine. God, leave me alone. And
come on, bro.
Sledge is like, no, they're mine. I'm going to take them. And so they run away and... Then he finally gets him pinned, and it's like, oh, bombs! And then it's like, oh, fuck, here goes my asteroids. It killed all the dinosaurs. Something about dino gems, because that's what Tommy said.
That's what Tommy said. They knew that's what she said, but for Tommy.
Well, everyone's like, the dino gems had to be in those asteroids, because...
They did, that's...
Tommy said that they... We're in the asteroids that killed the dinosaurs, so Sledge had fucking dino gems the entire time. He had basically what he was looking for, and he didn't even know it. What a misunderstood soul.
But yeah, it was a cool open. We got, Fury hanging out on Earth for, like, thousands or millions of years, just watching everything else happen ever.
He would just get really bored.
Like, I imagine, like, in my headcanon now, he was at every single major ranger battle just watching, eating popcorn. Also, I have no idea how the ice guy got there, because I saw him in one of the cages. Did he fall out? Yeah. Whoops!
Whoops!
Oh, blimey.
I see, that's the thing, is that we're left with so many questions
because there's millions of years
that it's really quite fascinating, because we don't know quite what happened to Sledge. Did he kind of careen off and then eventually get pulled back into Earth's atmosphere and crash somewhere on Earth? Did some of the monsters just fall out? did Sledge slowly repair his ship and then send the monsters down to Earth to try to find the energems? We don't quite know anything at all, really, and I think that that's one of the greatest things about this episode and the intro in general, is it's not presented to us all at once. And just to kind of go along with what I'm saying, hopping over to the the Rangers. I mean, in this episode, we see Tyler and Shelby get their energems and their morphers and everything. And obviously, we're intelligent people. We know Riley and Coda and Chase are the other Rangers, but yeah. We don't know the status of them. Do they have energems yet? Do they not have energems yet? We don't know. We didn't even see Riley in this episode.
Yeah, I especially love that today, Power Rangers News tweeted out, "Are Green Rangers ready for the premiere? Are you?" Bitch, he wasn't even there. He's not ready for shit. Guy didn't pack yet. He's not ready for Eddie's $1 million cook-off, which looks like is where he's from.
I mean, outside of RPM, which was designed to start as a three team and then work their way with the other two, I can't remember a time where we weren't introduced to all the main team in the first episode.
And neither can I. In Power Rangers, at least. Well, actually, any. Yeah.
And I think that's really fascinating. I love that.
Yeah, and especially since even though we were introduced to Coda and Chase, the core focus of the episode was Tyler and Shelby, and Shelby was essentially like the leading character for the episode, like who the viewer was following.
Like outside of the very intro, I can't even say very intro scene because that scene was 10 minutes into the episode and we finally see a human face. with Tyler going asking Chase where the caves are, and then he goes off. The rest of the episode is basically entirely Shelby's perspective. And yeah. I think that's cool because not only did we only really get introduced to the Red Ranger, we're more or less following the Pink Ranger throughout the entire intro episode of the show. And that's definitely a really neat change of pace.
Yeah, it was. I really wasn't expecting it. And from what we've seen of the other characters and what we saw of Tyler and Shelby, I really like the characters so far.
They
have a good personality, good rapport.
their initial like transformation scene, like that was one of the clips that we got before we got the episode, was fantastic. Like he accidentally almost shoots her in the face, and then he's like, "How'd you get it to work? I just started spinning the thing and it worked, I guess." I'm just like, "That's so real."
Yeah. And you know the others we only saw very briefly. I mean, Chase was kind of hitting on people. Oh, question. I should have looked this up. But the dude that plays him, isn't he actually from New Zealand?
Yes.
Like, not in the show, but I mean the real person.
Both.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I saw multiple people commenting on how bad his accent sounded, how fake it was. I'm like, dude, I think that guy's really from there.
I'll double check, but I thought he was.
But yeah, and there was also people, because of the line that Shelby had about picking up girls in New Zealand, believed the series was set in New Zealand. Toku fandom, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, he had a very brief scene, but I actually like the way that his character set up in terms of, because you have that stereotypical ladies man, and I like that it's not some douche that just gets girls. I like that he's one of those ones that is kind of perceived as a douche and doesn't really get them right away. But it's not like he's not likable, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's the more likable version of that type of character, I would think, for me. Coda's introduction was very brief, but he was amusing for sure. And that scene that George made a gif of him licking ketchup off his fingers and Chase balancing the skateboard literally is our podcast in a gif. Seriously. Like, no joke. Like, if I had to summarize our podcast, it would be that gif. I feel like he's going to be a lot of fun. What's her name? Not Yuyoi. He's kind of a B right now. Kendra. But, yes, Kendra. Kendall, I know. I like the looks of her, I guess. That sounds really weird to say. But, I mean, I'm sure she'll be fine later, but right now she just seems kind of a B to Shelby.
It's funny because she's presented as a more mature character, but as far as I know, she's, like, almost the same age as Camille is.
Yeah. So she does, like, sort of look a little bit older.
Yeah.
Everyone looks weird. I mean, no, but I mean,
everyone,
like,
everyone looks weird.
Like, I've noticed that so much recently, like, people of the same age can look so drastically different. Mm. Like, you can see two people that are 50, and one of them will look 40, and the other one looks 70. It's just so weird the way people age. But that's beside the point. But scene by scene, Tyler took a selfie. That was fun. He was looking for his dad in a cave that had lava in it. Seems legit.
That seems really dangerous.
I'm sitting here going, you could have easily done without the little lava spews, because he gets down to the bottom and he's perfectly fine. If
yeah,
there was
the minute
lava coming out of the ground of this cave, he would burn up.
Yeah, and the minute I saw that, I would have been like, you know what, Dad? It's cool. You know, I don't need you.
I think I'm okay. It's cool.
And raising more questions, when did this ice monster that may or may not have fallen out of the ship have time to steal O'Donna's cloak? And
that was hysterical. I'm cracking up. This giant ass thing in a big black cloak is running around. He digs through the back of this pickup and then scurries off, and it's all flowing behind him and shit. I'm like, how do you guys not see this?
I know. And it's such an awkward monster to be wearing it, because he has these huge spiky shoulders.
Exactly.
Like when we first saw him, I thought it was going to be Fury, but it wasn't. Like, all of a sudden he's like, wow. I'm like, oh, fuck, who are you?
Oh, shit. You.
I know you. You're the guy. I met you at that function. No, but that was just such an awkward choice there, which was really funny. And I like the whole setting of everything, like the museum and then having Jurassic Fork. I like the vibe of it all. And I don't know, I think it's a really good setup. We already mentioned, you know, the scene where they first morph was really fun. I loved the scene with him deflecting with a shovel. It was a bit cheesy with the whole pulling out banana bit, but I found it amusing. I felt like the underwear was like one too far, but the banana was funny, mainly because I kept thinking of the doctor talking about potassium. But I thought that was funny. I like that he actually had the initiative to fend this guy off before even being an actual ranger. The first morph was really natural, except for, I don't get it. I mean, how does morphing work? I get that, like, the energems were probably infused with the dinosaurs, obviously, which was create part of the powers. But did those dinosaur bones gestating with the energems create morphers?
I don't know. I feel like that's another thing that's going to get answered.
Yeah, I'm hoping, Keeper, might have, poofed him. To him, from the distance.
Yeah. The way that I'm interpreting it as more or less is that Keeper's around still. I don't know how.
Keeping.
That's a long time to live.
But Keepers be keeping.
So he's still around doing his Keeper shit. And at this point in time, I am fairly confident that Kendall, Chase, and Coda are all in on it too already.
Yeah.
Riley, I don't know about. Mostly because we didn't.
Yeah,
see
I don't. Yeah, I think the other guys are in on it, because they're in, especially in the opening, the scene where Coda finds his energem, he's all caveman.
I want to say with Coda, he probably finds it back in caveman times.
And then he gets frozen.
He could just get frozen by natural ice age, but the monster could have done it too. I don't know if they're gonna connect that or not. We'll see. The monster's still alive. I mean, we saw the T-Rex sword randomly, which I feel like the T-Rex sword was there more or less to go, hey kids, toys, for the last second of the show. just to get it out there, since there was no Megazord scene or anything, but so that happened. He just flung the monster somewhere, so he'll be back next episode.
And just walked off. And, how could he walk off? You would see him walking away for quite a bit before you couldn't see him anymore. I would have followed it, you know, because it's not like it's a little assassin that can, dive behind some rocks and trees and disappear. It'll take quite a while to not be able to follow that dude. Even so, he's leaving the trail.
How does it feel to be Kendall, Chase, and Coda? They not only didn't see the big black cloaked guy, they didn't hear Shelby screaming, they didn't see
screaming.
Any of this what?
Oh. Oh, I thought you were talking about when they left, because she just said, Chase, Coda. No wonder she didn't hear him.
No.
She barely tried to stop their truck.
When the Ice Age guys took the energem.
Oh, yeah. The meltdown.
They didn't see it run off. They didn't see any of that fight. They didn't see the giant T-Rex robot. They didn't see nothing.
Which seems even more bad if they are in on it. They're really bad rangers and support nerd.
I thought about that too. I'm like, now I kind of want them not to be in on it, because if that was the case, they're awful.
Yeah, but like, I thought you're talking about, which I thought was funny, when at the very end of the episode, when she was trying to stop Chase and Coda from leaving. I don't know why she didn't mention Kendall. Rude. But like, she like barely raised her voice to stop that truck.
Yeah,
she was like, "Chase, Coda." I'm like, "Oh, good. They can't believe they didn't hear you." But what was I going to say? I also do imagine that they might be in on it, just because maybe that's why Kendall's so dismissive of Shelby, because she doesn't want him finding out about their ranger stuff.
Yeah.
It would be like Shelby being like, "Hey, Felicity, can I follow you around?" I'm like, "No, we got Team Arrow stuff, but I'm just going to not tell you about it." I don't know why Felicity showed up, but she did. Felicity was in this episode. You didn't see her?
No.
She was at the Dino Bite, you know.
Oh, damn.
But she brought Big Belly Burger in because she didn't like the food. I don't know.
Speaking of how awesome is the Dino Bite compared to, like, everything else?
It is. It's pretty awesome. Especially since my Jurassic Fork jokes probably go for 2 years now.
It's a nice little set. I'm slightly confused since, like, I don't understand why this little cafe in a museum is so heavily populated with teenagers.
Yeah, my museum does not have a Dino Bite cafe.
But I don't fully understand that. I don't understand maybe the museum is like a big thing and there's nothing else to do in this town, so people constantly just go to the museum.
Pretty much. They want to join the museum.
They all ties together.
All ties together. Let's see what else to talk about in the episode. There's actually not, like, it seems like more happened, but it didn't. We did get to see Tyler, like, at the very end, opening this notebook that his dad had, and I like that there was a drawing of Fury in there. Like, it looked like an ancient sketch. That sounds really stupid, an ancient sketch, but I like the idea of him sort of being this figure for all these years. I'm assuming at one point he might have picked up a guy to be his host or merge with. Just a hunch.
Yeah.
What else? He confirmed his dad is not ASJ. That made me very happy.
Like, it could still happen. No, just let it go.
No, let it go. I did not listen to the song. Dear God. let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else very specific I want to touch on in the episode. There's not much specifically. I really did enjoy it a lot. There was a really good natural vibe to it. It reminded me of like a mix of tones of like the current era, the Disney era, and then something new. But it felt very much Power Rangers-y, if you know what I mean. It was very probably out of, even though I really did like Mega Mission, out of all of the premieres or events so far, it gave me that Power Rangers excitement feeling the most I've had in quite some time. I mean, there was a lot of hopeful build-up and a lot of positive things being said about it before, but I'm glad that it sort of lived up to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm disappointed that the next episode doesn't air this weekend.
I know.
So it'll be like 2 weeks before we talk about it again, but I'm really looking forward to that second episode.
Like, it was really weird to look on Twitter and just see so much positive reaction to a Power Rangers episode. Like, I didn't feel like I was living real life.
Is this real life?
Like, everyone's like, "Well, that was really good," or "That was amazing." I'm sitting there going, "You guys talking about Power Rangers? Damn.
Are you sure you're the Toku fandom?"
And then, like, right after that, I watched it and I was like, "I completely agree with everyone. That was fucking fantastic." Like, even people that normally hate Power Rangers were giving us positive reactions.
Yeah, like, I released like at midnight, so like I watched it the very next morning, but like I made sure to stay off Twitter like from like 10 p.m. until I watched it at like 9 a.m. the next morning, just because not only did I not want to be spoiled on anything that might have been neat, but I also didn't want anybody's positive or negative reactions influencing me at all.
Right.
But like, you know, I caught up on like 12 hours of Twitter after I watched it, and yeah, everyone liked it. I mean, I barely saw any negativity. I saw like the occasional Facebook Rangers comment about no Samba. Apparently there were some people actually complaining that there wasn't Sentai footage. I do not see how in any world that's a bad.
Like, I did see a lot of people kind of overreact a little bit. I mean, it was a fantastic episode. There's no denying that it was a fantastic episode. But to immediately go, Power Rangers is back, all hail Judd Lynn, I'm like, whoa, there's only one episode so far. Yeah. Cool.
For all we know, next episode, it's back to treasure pasting. You never know.
Like, there was no Sentai footage. This is amazing. I'm like, well, that's not going to be every episode.
or like, the immediate, like, in one scene, Tyler's better than every single person ever cast into the Saban era so far. Like, come on, let's settle down now. Like,
his voice makes me chuckle a little bit.
Like, it does. He sounds like the generic voice guy. like in the trailer when he goes, Morphin time! He sounds just like the generic voice that you get when they can't get an actor to, like, voice the toy. That's what he sounds like. But like I said at the beginning, the performances were all pretty well done in this. It felt very natural. I didn't feel any real awkward acting, but I hated that in addition to the positivity, there was immediate attack on Samurai and Megaforce. It's like, they definitely have their problems, but can't we just like it without immediately going back to attack it?
Yeah, like everyone's... there's no reason to instantly attack something just because you want to praise what you enjoyed just now.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go, oh, that was 10 times better than Samurai and Megaforce. Those were shit. I'm like, okay, yeah, you don't like them. I get that, but did that really need to be said? I mean...
Yeah. It's funny because... most people were saying about how much they liked this episode better than the entirety of Samurai Megaforce, and all I was thinking of, I think Dino Charge might be the best Toku I enjoy out of the Core 3 right now. I was thinking, I enjoy this more than Tokyo Drift Drive. Why isn't anybody saying that? It's because that, if it stays at this level of enjoyment out of the trio of shows we watch, it could definitely end up being the most enjoyable of them.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely could. If Ninja doesn't have that spark that Sentai really needs right now, Dino Charge is gonna be like my little savior over here, because while Drive most certainly has my interest and I will continue to watch it, it is not wowing me by any means.
Yeah,
so it's looking like it's gonna be a Dino Charge few weeks until we go on a hiatus, and then I'm sad.
Yeah, I'll be sad about the hiatus, but I'm not looking forward to people complaining about summer hiatus like it's a weird thing, even though every single other show we're watching is going on hiatus for the summer. Arrow, Flash, everything. There's summer shows, but people – I'll probably bitch about this a lot. But be thankful that we're not like Turtles. Turtles is on the most random
Turtles is just whenever it wants to.
On an ass backwards schedule where – I hate when they have ones where they premiere a season or end a season and premiere a season back to back and then have a break instead of having the break between seasons like you should. Mm-hmm. So Turtles is completely random. I haven't been able to pick a pattern out of it. Granted, you know, the summer hiatus is longer. It's a normal time for me to have shows be on hiatus, so I'm fine with it. And the fact that I at least know Power Rangers is going off in there for the summer and then it's going to go off for December, January, I like that we at least know.
Right.
And back before Ben 10 was murdered, it was also on a pretty much do whatever the hell we want schedule.
That's just from Cartoon Network.
Yeah. So regardless of your annoyance at that, at least be thankful we're on a knowing schedule of that. Most stuff on Nick, I can't think of anything really that I watched on there past and present that was on a normal schedule. Remember iCarly? Eventually they just stretched everything out and made every single episode a special.
Yeah. That was awful.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing more. It's going to be kind of painful to have to wait another week. But, you know, we'll have at least a good couple of months of it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it. Green Ranger will be ready next week. He's still getting packed.
Supposedly he's going to be a chef.
Yeah, that's why I said the Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
A chef that can sword fight or whatever it is.
What's his name, Riley?
Yeah.
Riley's Million Dollar Cook-Off. There you go. Okay.
Swords. Anyway. Yeah, so that we'll be back to that shortly. If Kevin is fortunate enough to join us next week, I'm sure he'll voice his opinion on the episode.
And everything else ever. probably pockets.
All right, so now it is time for Ramble, Ramble, Ramble time.
That's a really good one. At least I thought. Let's see, what should we start with?
Turtles?
I did not watch it this week. I forgot.
I don't really have a whole lot to add. The episode was good. It was a lot of hunting for Karai. The turtles were looking for Karai. Shredder was looking for Karai.
What has he been looking for all this time? They were gone.
Zack and
Miri made a porno.
Yeah, they did.
Cool.
The big Russian guy. I'm just gonna call him Rocksteady and Bebop because that's who they turned into.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
We're looking for Karai. So it was basically just everyone looking for Karai. They find Karai, they capture Karai, they rescue Karai. Karai escapes. Says something about comets and points to the city. I don't know, but
no need to cry about it.
At the end of it, it basically amounts to the fact that we now have Rocksteady and Bebop in the show for realsies now.
They got dumped in some Oz ooze.
They got dumped in the ooze. So that was neat. I don't remember what's happening next week, but whatever. It is what it is. It's fun. It was a good episode, but
yeah. Speaking of the random hiatus, apparently it's going on a random hiatus. I'll try to go or watch it this week. I don't know why I was really good about it, but then I forgot it existed on Sunday for whatever reason. It'll probably come back and be on Fridays again or something. That'll probably be a thing. Let's see. What's next then? Flash?
Yeah.
This week was a fun episode, I thought.
I did not know he had such a good singing voice.
Neither did I. I was not expecting that. And she was terrible. Not terrible, but bad.
Which is funny because I thought she actually could sing, so.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be reversed. She's like, I can't really sing that well. Oh, well, if you need me to, though. But yeah, it was more, I guess they did have some developments in it, but it felt just more kind of like a fun episode. I mean, Ronnie let Harry Potter go. Not Ronnie. Cisco. And I kind of saw that. Excuse me. I kind of saw that coming. I was really happy when he tried to escape the first time and Cisco stopped him. And I was like, oh, good, we're not going to do this. And then he did it later. He's ripping those freaking ear plants out. And it's like, he reminds me of ripping a skitter worm out of your ear or something. God. It hurts. I can feel it in my ear when he does it. But I guess he's a villain I would like to see again in some way, but I just don't like that he's escaped so soon. I don't know. It's not that huge of a deal. I did like that they kind of tied it back to Cisco sort of feeling guilty about what happened to Ronnie, and so he's trying to make up for it.
Yeah, it all makes sense. It's all really human, and I dig that.
I do think it's a bit weird that Caitlin is trying so hard to get over Ronnie when his status of death is such question.
Well, I think, a lot of it was the fact that Ronnie is still not going to be Ronnie.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I just can't relate to that situation. See, with Cisco, you could see his point. But if someone I love died and then came back in any form, if there was any way to have them back, I wouldn't be like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'm going to go drink. Well, I don't like to drink. But you know what I mean. It just seems odd.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I mean, not only, even if they were just, boyfriend, girlfriend, but they were engaged. I mean, you gotta try, man. poor Stephen Jameson of the Tomorrow People. And apparently, in a twist I did not see coming, he's merged consciousness with a middle-aged man that used to be on Alias. I did not see that twist coming at all. I'm not sure why it happened. He was in that
room. Firestorm works.
I did not know that. So, because, as someone who doesn't know much about the comics, when he got stuck in the particle accelerator thing, I assumed, hey, that's how he got his powers. I don't know. How did he get near the middle-aged man? Is it forever?
He got embedded into the wave, and
his
face was floating around, and then the wave hit the middle-aged guy.
So it was like that scene in Scooby-Doo with all those spirit heads floating around?
Kind of. And they just kind of became one. except they got the better body out of it.
Oh god, so like, is that forever?
I believe so.
Wow, that sucks. I had no idea. Mine's blown. Like, because I have very base knowledge of a lot of these universes. There's only a couple I have a little bit more.
Like,
you know,
I said, I don't know a whole lot outside of weekly
just did
research.
I didn't even think about researching Firestorm. But, well, that's definitely an interesting development. It's kicking up heat, as you could say, because next week's going to go directly into it. What else happened this week?
At the very end, we got Gorilla Grodd.
Oh, yeah. That's like the second gorilla on the CW this week. There was one on not tomorrow, people, the 100. It's probably the same one. That was pretty creepy. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that, because they've had some pretty good special effects, but I imagine this will be like the biggest challenge in terms of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really interested to see how they handle that. Skylar? Who the hell is Skylar? Oh, Skylar White. I don't know why I said that. I'm getting tired. Barry.
Got a God, date. You got the main character wrong.
Yeah, I got a date with some chick that works at Iris's newspaper, coincidentally. I have no idea what importance she holds. Is she a character from the comics? Is she just a one-off?
Yeah, she's a character in the comics.
Okay, but more importantly, where's Todd? I did not see him at all. Where he should be there. He works for the Sun. He owns the Sun. Where is he? So, like, in your research, what is she?
She was Wally West's significant other.
Who's that?
One of the Flashes.
Oh. So, that'll be a thing. I was wondering, like, wait. Like, that name does sound familiar, but like, wait, who did he precede or succeed?
Wally West was after Barry Allen.
Oh, okay. Who was Kid Flash? Was that Wally?
Yes.
Oh, I knew that.
In Young Justice, I believe so, yes.
Okay. So that's it. I agree. Meow. well, you know, I don't know if this would be related to us.
It's going to be... I'm sorry. I've heard that they want to bring in Wally West to Flash, but it probably won't be this season.
Yeah.
And considering they already have two Wests in the show, they have to make them related to those Wests, so... They're going to go with the African-American Wally West instead of the white Wally West.
Well, I'm curious because about something like that, because I was wondering how long it would be before the Flash starts introducing potential allies or just other heroes. Mm-hmm. Because I remember in Arrow, like, obviously we're pretty fucking packed right now, but I was still am surprised how quickly a lot of things happened. I mean, because Flash is very early on. You know, he's very young. And even Arrow... When it first started, we're seeing him from the very beginning. So I was very surprised about how early they started, you know, Roy. I mean, he didn't fully suit up to Arsenal until now, which is season 3. But still, I was surprised about how fast they introduced someone like that. And Canary was handled differently, sure. And I like how organically Laurel was handled. But still, given the fact that it's like, you know, Arrow year 1, Flash year 1, I'm still very surprised how quickly... things developed, even if it was just planting the seeds of the character. So I was just kind of curious how long it'll be before Flash has a huge, you know, gallery of heroes. I'm definitely interested in seeing that.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything that's popping up as I watch videos and stuff are all like, oh, new rogues are added, new this, new that. And it's always like, it has to do with villains. And I'm like, where's the good guys?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got to go to.
I think that'll be interesting
to find good guys.
Yeah, pretty much just round them up. But I think it'll be interesting to see like when and then who they decide to start adding to, whether or not they're, you know, people that not necessarily working with them or people that are working with them in a sort of Arsenal Canary capacity. And oh, this is just one random thought before we move on. I liked the little. Metahuman of the week. Not like she was an amazing character, but I just thought it was nice to get back to a metahuman after having a bunch of tech people.
Yeah.
Like, I almost forgot they existed. I was like, well, how'd she do that? Oh, yeah, I forgot. The show deals with powers. but I thought it was kind of a fun little challenge.
That's okay. I was at my parents' house when I was watching it, and my dad goes, is she a Flash, too?
Is she a Flash? Yes, they're not called metahuman, they're called Flashes. Tiny traffic is happening. You must be moving around.
That was a thing.
Are you moving around?
What?
Tiny traffic is happening. Are you moving around?
Oh, no. I'm just sitting here, but my headset's making sparky noises.
Stop sitting that way. Speaking of sparky noises, Arrow.
How does that even correlate?
Do my segues ever correlate?
No.
That's what I thought. this week's episode was pretty good, I thought. I do have some nitpicks about it. First, I think the most important is Malcolm Merlyn's flashback hair. Brian was so outraged by that hair, he like threw a battery down, or whatever that was.
It may knock down one of my mega stones.
Oh.
Proceeded to ignore it.
But seriously, how funny was his flashback hair?
It like, was amazing.
It was like, hey, if we make his hair like bigger and like douchey, he'll look younger. I thought it was pretty funny. But I really did like the episode. I was just sort of nitpicky about a few things. Mainly, I felt part of Oliver's return was anticlimactic.
Yeah. Like, how did he get there so fast?
I know, he's like, those people in Asia just like drove him right to Starling City. Like, they dropped him off at Verdant. But, like, there could have been such a better... Like, I liked his little speech of "You have not failed the city." It was really cool. And the, you know, zooming off or whatever was cool. But, like, his return was so anticlimactic. Like, he shot someone and Laurel and Roy just smile. Like, they knew all along. And then he just helps Malcolm out. Like, I almost felt like I wish he would have returned next episode or at the end, because they kind of had it under control. They didn't really need him. They were winning. They really didn't need him there. I kind of wish it was a bit more impactful. I'm hoping next episode we see a bit more reactions. I mean, Felicity kind of, you know, cried and hugged him and then had a bitch fit and left. But everyone else, it just seemed like there should have been much more of a more emotional reaction. I also like how, I mean, everybody in Team Arrow contributed, obviously, to helping. But Roy and Laurel were kind of at center stage, so I thought it was funny that Oliver immediately goes up to Diggle and he's like, "Thanks for keeping the city in charge. You did all right too, Roy." Like, even though Roy's sort of been the Arrow, like, that's what it seemed like.
I felt bad for him, and like, Roy didn't even like put up a fuss. He was just like, "Yeah,
whatever, man. I'm not in this." Like, it just seemed funny that he, like, Diggle did do his part, but Roy essentially took over his role in a lot of ways. I did love... Damn it, cat. Get interrupted by every single cat in your house, human or animal. I did absolutely love the scene where Roy was talking to Detective Lance, and he tried to disguise himself, and he's just like, "Harper?" He's like, "Wait, how did you... No one you know." He's like, "I've seen you in a Red Hood before. Do you think I did not recognize you?" Which begs the question, how did he not know it's Oliver? Although he did arrest him once, and they disproved it.
Because Oliver doesn't walk around in a green hoodie.
That's just true. And they did have that thing where they arrested him and disproved it. But still, I thought that was really funny. Even though he could recognize that, but he can't even recognize the difference between his daughter's busts. Come on. But that was funny. Sin got the ball rolling on Detective Lance, knowing that there's something up, by recognizing that Laurel and Sarah aren't the same person.
Bitch, that was not her.
Ted's wildcat costume was lame.
It was.
It was like, he just popped up and like, "Who are you?" I'm like, that's a good question. Isn't that Diggle's outfit? It's just a ski mask, right? And he's like, "I'm the wildcat." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot." And then he got the shit beat out of him. Let's see, what else?
He did a good job for a minute there, and then...
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying to think my only real nitpick was probably Oliver's anticlimactic return. I mean, there's definitely potential for there to be more aftermath later. As far as Malcolm Merlyn goes, I like that he's having more of a role now, just because they made him a regular and it seemed like all he was doing was running around being annoying before.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how I feel about where they're going with it. I mean, obviously, if he's going to be a main character, he's got to have a lot going on. But I'm not sure if I necessarily want him to be redeemed. And the thing is
I still don't feel like he's going to be redeemed.
Well, but, like, he's working with him, and I completely understand Oliver needing to train under him. I completely back him on that. But in terms of, like, being mad at him or him at any point coexisting, I don't even give a crap about the Glades thing he did. It's the fact that he killed Sarah by proxy, even, mm-hmm. that upsets me. And after this training's over, I don't really want to see them completely accept him or anything. Like, I mean, the Glades thing's kind of bad, but I liked Sarah's boobs. And you killed her and her boobs along with her. So, I don't know. But I liked certain things they're doing with him. I thought it was interesting to get some flashbacks from him, but we already knew his backstory, so I don't necessarily feel any more sympathy towards him. And again, the Glades thing was bad, and I'm more mad at him about Sarah, but what he did to his daughter was pretty despicable.
Yeah, like that. That's why I don't feel like he'll be redeemed, because that's so much shit to be redeemed for.
Yeah.
Like, you can be redeemed kind of, like, oh, you helped him win, yay on you, and I hope just, like, Oliver turns out and stabs him or something. Because he certainly doesn't deserve a redemption story whatsoever. Sure, do something good before you get killed or whatever, but...
Like, shit. I've lost my train of thought. I like John Barrowman a lot, and I do like the character, but I don't really want to see him be a regular forever. Like, I like him having a story this year, and maybe they don't necessarily kill him off, just so they can use him later, but I don't want to see him be a regular in season 4, 5, 6, however long they go. It just wouldn't feel right. Because he's done a lot. I mean, you know, the Glades thing was terrible, but, and you could sort of see why he was doing it, maybe, but not really. But it's what he did to his daughter. Like, if he had been protecting Thea and was legitimately seeing this as a second chance, I could easily accept him more, but Sarah aside, that's a really fucked up thing to do to Thea. And I don't even like Thea that much, and I feel bad for her. Like, that's really bad. I mean, he made her kill somebody and essentially put her in the crosshairs of the League just so that he wouldn't be. Because if he was really a good dad, he would just fall on his sword for her, you know?
Right. Like,
that's
I get
really
his
up.
Plan. His plan was just a douche move.
It was a dumb plan.
It's like, oh, I thought it was going to have a different outcome. Well, you should have thought better, buddy.
Maybe you should have trained Oliver before you took him there. God, idiot. Maybe you shouldn't have killed Sarah. Let's see. What else did I want to address? Felicity's kind of being a B. I sort of get it, because she was just like 5 minutes ago being like, Oliver would never work with him. And he's like, hey, want to be my new business partner? But, I mean, Oliver was dead and he's back, and now she's just all pissed. I don't entirely get her logic.
I get it, but I don't get it, like, at the same time. Like, I understand her point of view, like, oh, how could you work with this guy after what he did? But, I mean, your heartthrob just came back from the dead again.
Well, he's been through a lot, and he's trying to protect his sister. It's not like he's just doing this willy-nilly. It's very complicated, and real talk, I'm probably among a very few, but I actually don't really ship them together.
I don't particularly either.
I like Felicity a lot, and I loved her in the first seasons where she was, like, really quirky and funny, and I loved their friendship and, like, the funny, awkward moments where she had the little thing in her ear and be like, I love you inside of me, and then she meant the ear thing, but it was funny. But I don't feel them as a couple. I kind of want him to end up with Laurel, just because the Green Arrow and the Black Canary get married later. I don't know. But it's not really a show where I care so much about romantic pairings, but if I had a choice, I kind of pick Laurel. But I feel like there was such a fan response to Oliver and Felicity that they're trying to make it happen now to make the fans happy. Which, not that making fans happy is a bad thing, but it feels so forced all of a sudden. Mm. Because, you know, he was just with Sarah last year, but then before that, it was all about Laurel for, like, the first season and part of the second season, so it does seem very sudden. And it's not like I don't like Felicity. I prefer her as, you know, his friend.
Yeah.
Not that I want her with Shaw either, because I don't trust him. there was a couple people saying that maybe they're going to get rid of Felicity, or the reason they're having fights is because she's going to leave at the end of the season and go to the Adam spinoff. I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening quite yet. One, because Felicity is more or less a fan popular character.
Yeah.
Plus, the Adam spinoff hasn't been greenlit yet, and we don't know when that's going to air.
So yeah.
I could see it maybe happening when it gets approved and set up, but I...
Like, the Felicity pairing, regardless, she's so integral to the show now, I can't see them doing that. That would be pretty risky.
Right.
And who would they replace her with? Like, I don't really want to see that happen, regardless of how I feel about their pairing or not. Like, I'm totally fine with him getting his show, and I'll watch it, but I don't really want him to take anybody. I mean, I'm fine with any cameos or whatever crossovers they want to do with that. But I don't know. It would just seem weird for her to leave and go work with him for more than potentially helping him get his feet off the ground. Speaking of him, though, I'm assuming you saw the suit.
Yeah.
The Adam suit. I think it's kind of funny looking. Like, the body is fine. Very Iron Man-y. But the helmet looks funny.
The helmet does look a little bit funny. I think what kind of bothers me the most is the colors. Like, I think it's blue? Just because, well, I don't know what Adam
looks like. It's the way the Adam looks. Not quite as armory as I remember, but...
Okay.
It is red and blue, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, normal Adam is very much red and blue, and the suit that they're making in the show looks very red and black. I think that's Adam supposed to be blue, but it's a really dark blue, so yeah, it looks really like black in these pictures. It might look different in the show as it ends up. It reminds me a lot of Ant-Man.
Well, yeah, because his power, I think, is Ant-Man. He's like the DC Ant-Man, but I think they're going more an Iron Man route here.
Yeah. I don't know if he's actually ever going to really shrink. I mean, he once he has his own show, he might, but... I don't know if he is right now.
I imagine when we see it in person, it'll look a little bit better. But like the way the pic is kind of photoshopped, it kind of looks like his face is on a monitor. I would have preferred, because I think you could see Adam's face, but I think it would have been cool almost to go full Iron Man and give him a helmet. But yeah, that's that. I feel so bad because he does such a good job performing him. That sounds really weird to say, but as the character with his little quirks and everything, but because of Shaw, I just don't trust him, and I always feel like just a little part of him that's just a little shit. So I'm having such a hard time because he's not even portraying someone that's going to be like a, unless they completely take it a different direction, but like be an actual threat to Oliver as an attack. He's portraying a guy that's a hero. So it's like, but because of that past, and he was Superman, but I only saw that movie once, and I'm not a Superman fan that much. So I think that's kind of funny. But yeah, other than that nitpick, a few little nitpicks, I still thought it was a good episode. I'm really looking forward to next week's episode, the Canaries episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking forward to seeing Sarah again, even if it's just kind of weird to think about that she might be a Brutzy, because she's going to be fighting a Brutzy. He's gonna see Sarah, but then this is I have the weirdest boner. I'm looking forward to that. I feel like it'll be a good point for Laurel's story, and I'm also looking forward to seeing Oliver's reaction to Laurel being the canary, because he was quite against it before he left. I'm just looking forward to the show in general. The shows are so good right now. Like the
Flash
DC
and Arrow
block
is like my love of the week. Like,
it's like the
show,
new superhero time.
Yeah, it's the show I look forward to, shows rather, that I look forward to the most every week, bar none. So
it's just so cool. They're doing a really good job. Like I said, I'll watch the Adam show, and I'd love to see them do even more. I know Supergirl's gonna be tied in with it. I know they're doing Teen Titans, and I know Supergirl was confirmed that it could crossover, but I think that they're there was a possibility the Teen Titans could tie into it. And
I don't think I've heard either way on Teen Titans. I know Supergirl is part of the same universe.
Yeah, the only thing I heard is that it was like
part of the contracts.
Yeah, but like there was something about like TNT. I think is it TNT that owns it? Whoever owns it, like there's some sort of the networks are like parented. That's what I heard. Ow. So I haven't heard anything concrete. But regardless, I'd love to see DC like essentially do what Marvel did with movies, but with TV, and just become this great universe.
I mean, they've already got a fantastic universe. I like the Flash reference at the beginning of this one.
Oh yeah, are you the guy with the red streak that I've been hearing about? Wrong city. There's a lot of funny little aerosol. arsenal moments in this episode. And when Felicity said, "I'm going to send Arsenal out," and he goes, "You just picking names out of a hat?" there's some good moments. But yeah, I really love to see that because I'm looking forward to DC Cinematic Universe, and I liked Man of Steel a lot, but I feel so bad that they get so shitted on, and I think they're winning TV-wise right now. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s great. They got some cool stuff going on with Netflix, but regardless of that, I still think DC's winning in the TV game right now. And I can't really see that changing for me. It's kind of like what we were just talking about with Power Rangers, where people immediately take their positive thoughts about Dino Charge and gear it towards negative about Megaforce.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. Every time Marvel makes a move, the next immediate thing is a dig at DC. It's just really annoying for me. Like, I get that they're having a rough start, guys. We all get it. They're having a hard time. But leave them alone. But, yeah. Shows.
Yeah, DC is really killing it.
Yeah. It's such a good time to, like, be into all this nerdy stuff.
I know.
Between all the movies, the DC movies, the DC shows. Are you gonna watch iZombie?
I didn't know it was a DC property.
Neither did I until a little while ago, but
I was property. Planning on checking out just because of Rose McGyver.
Yeah, Rose MacGyver's in it. It's a DC property, and also Rob Thomas is behind it, did Veronica Mars, so those are all three good things for me. So
yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, the previews look fun, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully, it'll be another good one. In terms of other topics, there wasn't a whole lot to say about Parks and Rec this week, other than the fact that I enjoyed it quite a bit, like usual. Yeah. I just watched you, or listened to you watch it.
So if you watch me watch it, you got some cameras set up somewhere.
Yeah, no, I don't have any cameras. No. I think it'll be kind of fun to see Ben run for Congress. I don't want them to move out of Pawnee, though. They have to stay in Pawnee forever. I wonder if they're going to do any more time skips. Like, not like years, but I wonder if they might fast forward a few months or however long it would be. Because I don't know what time it is there. Like, what month, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know how far away it is from, like, elections or whatever. But I wonder if they would skip around at all. Like, that would be interesting to skip around by increments of months to do various updates, because they could very well do that. And it does appear that the conflict with Grizzly is over, and we're just kind of moving on to other storylines now.
Which is good, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. I think they're doing a really good job of, like, doing this great, like, almost mini tribute in every episode. Like, I love that they, in this episode, brought back a lot of Donna references, like the Genuine, which was hilarious. And even, like, Lavandrius, her brother, was, like, I think a one-off line in one episode a long time ago. I think it was one of the Tammy episodes where she said, "I love you like a brother, Ron, like, more so than my actual brother, Lavandrius, who I hate," or something like that. Like, she might have mentioned him one other time, but I just think if it was a one-off line, they just bring in this character for it. Was this the first time this season we saw, I forget her name, the campaign manager lady?
It's the first time this season, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because we saw her at the end of last season. I think that's why I got confused. But I don't know. I just think they're doing a great job of every episode sort of giving a tribute to part of the show. And I loved – my favorite part was the Gary thing. like Donna essentially tricking everybody to get him to say his real name. No joke. when I saw the name tag and they started chanting Gary, I forgot that was his real name for a second. I thought it was just a continuation of the bit. I'm like, oh, brother, they're changing it again. And then I was like, oh, wait. Like, no joke. I forgot that was his real name. I felt like a character on the show for a second. So I thought that was simultaneously a really funny, like, callback to the whole thing, but also just kind of like a really sweet moment from Jerry, because I feel so bad for him. Larry is my friend. Yeah, but there's not too much else to say. I just want to comment how much I'm enjoying it.
Gary, Larry, Terry, Gary.
All comes back. We only got 6 more episodes, a few more weeks. It's really sad because I feel like this season's been one of its best.
Oh, like, yeah. The humor's been killing it this season.
Yeah, it's just been so great. But it's good to go out on top, though, I guess. Like, it would have been great to have 22 episodes because I think there's so much content now with the time jump. But the fact that it's going out on such a fantastic season, I think, is great. There really hasn't been an episode this season that I haven't liked. All right. There's not much else for Animal Time, is there?
Nope.
I think I forgot to watch Gotham the last 2 weeks, so...
I haven't caught up yet either.
Gotham's a very odd little being. I enjoy it at varying degrees, and I feel like it's trying to find what it wants to be at the same time.
Big kitty. Okay. Now it's time for the Facebook question of the whateverness. I got it. I got this.
Okay, so because Brian said it in the stone, I forgot what we called the stone last week, or I would have included it in the question.
The time stone. Is that time what we called it? The time stone?
Sure. Let's call it that. So, this week was, what is your favorite white scent I sent you? There's only 2 of us to read this.
Oh my and 3. God.
May get to work, read one of these in your meows.
Anyway. I lost Kabuto. He's somewhere now.
Thanks, Maymay.
Phew, there's hair in my mouth. God damn it. Fuck. Anyway, TKDT Gray says, to avoid racism answers, Geki Chopper. He was just a fun character that had a great karate-themed suit. Awesome slash huge changer and oos. But the only real answer is Ramirez, because come on.
That's the first thing I thought of when I asked this question, and I love that the first person that answered brings it up.
Truth.
So Jared Castiel says, I don't have a favorite, pick mine, thanks. Ramirez. Boom, racist. God, see what happens when you put your decisions in the hands of me?
Get Ramirez'd. Alan Brown says, there aren't very many to pick from. How many are there? Like 5? I guess I'm going to go with Tsuhime. That's Ninja White, for those of you.
Yeah, I did not know.
You watched the show and you...
Did I? I had to look it up, so I had no idea when him and George said it. So Jorge Hansen Jr. said, mine for this is Tsuhime because hamburgers are the best. I assume... something to do with the show.
Yeah, and there was one episode where she turned into a hamburger.
Let me explain briefly what I remember about Cockranger. Jura! He was saying his name at 2x speed. And I remember me not knowing what happened in Ninja and having to ask Aerosol about it. Still fresh, guys. Okay. Perry.
Joshua Petty says, Tsuruhime, because...
Oh, that's it. You're genuinely done. Kelvin Klein says, probably Ko, because he was a kid who liked to look up girls' skirts. One person likes this. I bet it was Toku Joe. No? It was Mark Cruz. You've disappointed me, Joe. Where are you? You're not even here.
Excuse me. Steven Ketchum said, Gal White, because Gal Ranger bias.
Is that a thing?
I guess so.
Billy Haggis says, Tsuruhime. She was really awesome, especially being the leader.
Corey Gong says, Robert Brown, Shinken Brown. He came to Japan to learn the ways of the Shinkenger and went back to America to train a new generation of samurai, now known as Power Ranger Samurai. So Shinken Brown is G? Is that what happened?
Confirmed. Derek Zartan says, That's right, Mikoto from Ava Ranger, because he didn't play no games. He did play games, though, and stuff, and his Top Gale had a cool voice. But he likes to play games.
Oscar Pektark.
He's an alien.
Picard? I don't know. Mikoto from Ava Ranger, for the same reasons Zartan said. Those are like two aliens communicating with each other.
Zeef.
Oh, I love you guys.
Kevin Phantom Song says Maggie Mother. Hashtag MILF. I love everybody.
I picked the wrong time to drink water.
Hashtag spit take. Hashtag why am I hashtagging?
Christian Shear says mine's Geggy Chopper because his facial hair is so here. His facial hair is so powerful.
J. Jonah Jameson says Geggy Chopper because of his quirkiness.
Andrew Bruce says Magi Mother because that's the only white Senshi I've seen in action.
Climax Stewart says Geki Chopper. He chopped things with sass.
I need water really bad. I think I may or may not be having a reaction to that hair that went in my mouth. Even though May May doesn't make my allergies act up normally, so I don't know why this would, but... Anyway, I don't know. Like, there isn't that many to pick from, and...
Why'd you pick that color, then?
I just picked a random color. I didn't put thought into it. I was Sounds looking like around going, oh, what can I pick? And I looked at my fucking wall. It's white. Tough shit. I will go with Ko because I enjoyed Dairanger a lot. So I'm going to pick him. And because I just bought Legacy Saba.
You have a room full of, like, all these, like, hundreds of toys, and you pick the wall to look at?
Don't judge me.
Like, in any normal room, there's a bunch of different colored things, but, like, our rooms in particular have an excess of color.
Like, every color of the rainbow possible.
Seriously, there's probably, like, not a single color not represented in all of our rooms. Mine is Albrecht Killer, Mikoto. I loved his character so much. I talked about it a lot in my Albrecht ramble, but he was so awesome. I love that suit, so I'm glad it's a character with it that I like so much. But he was such a badass. He was, like, the exact evil ranger I wanted, but also, like, the reason behind why he was the way that he was really cool, at least for me. I liked him a lot. So this question actually came at a pretty opportune time for that. But yeah, he was really cool.
I figured that'd probably be my answer once I watch Abra Ranger.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it. It was a good episode. I liked it. But yeah, that concludes our Facebook question. Thank you for your entertaining answers and entertaining names that we can, you know, improvise on. But yeah, that was fun. Next 2 weeks will be another color. I'm going to pick yellow. Ha, got it in. Set it in the stone.
There you go.
Tim. The stone of Tim. The E fell off. So yellow, 2 weeks from now will be a thing. But yeah, now it's time for
final thingies, MP3.
Final thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Final thingies, exactly what I just said right before the final thingies about Facebook question. I don't think there's any other announcements.
That's right, you don't think.
I do not. What?